Everybody stand by. Industry is in the house. Here he is, the controversial, the legendary, BDP. Make way for the king. Another Mike and Mike production. In 3, 2, 1, 1, 1, 0.
All right, we got, you ready? We got Pete Hernandez in the studio. First time ever. Was he in the, were you in the original studio?
He's been on before, yeah, so he's been upstairs. Yeah.
Hey, you want this Tetraji? I still stole these out of his box.
Yeah, he does.
There it is. Would you like a cigar?
It'd be nice, you know. I mean,
yeah, I have this box here.
When in Rome, right? Yeah. Oh, nice. Look at that. It's got one tooth.
I like
holding
that.
This thing down. Yeah,
it still works.
Mikey's got such a nice cigar box there.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. Make sure you get that back, Pete.
He's got all the Dunbarton separated in like a separate bag.
Well, it's just very professional. Worked out. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want them to touch the others.
Yeah.
You don't play.
Don't want them to touch the Aladinos.
They don't play nice.
They'll beat up the Aladinos. They're heavier.
They got them by a few grams.
Yeah, different weight class.
That's a tough fucking room. Oh boy, what did you think you were walking into, buddy? It was gonna be lighthearted.
I'm curious. What does Pete pick out of Pete's own box?
You know what? I am going to pick.
You have to talk into this black thing.
Oh.
There you go.
Gosh.
Is that the first time we've heard that?
Yeah, exactly.
Just today. It's the first time today.
Let's see. Yeah, you know what? I'm more of a medium body guy, so.
Bless you.
Thank you. So out of my brands, I find myself smoking. I like the number 7th with Tatuaje. Capa Especial. I like the Natural. From Tatuaje, I also happen to smoke. By the way, I got a lot of those samples, so I smoke the Nuevitas.
Nuevitas.
And it's nice, medium body, smooth. It's great flavor. With Aladino, I typically smoke the classic or the natural, the Corojo. The Maduro lately, I really like the vintage Rothschilds. Yeah. Good size,
show
a lot of flavor.
Camera over there.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of flavor. And that's right. It's a podcast. Right.
Audio video.
You're used to just calling in. That's the problem. And it's early morning for you, so you know, like you haven't had a good beverage yet. You're still kind of getting going.
Right. That's right. And with Dunbarton, man, you know what? I hardly ever smoke a brulee.
Really?
Yeah. Just not a Connecticut guy.
I think that's one of the best things I make.
It's one of the best things I sell the most of.
Yeah.
But I'm more of I hinge back and forth between Mi Querida and Sobremesa.
Which Mi Querida?
The blue. Yeah, Turkey Traca is just really heavy for me. I've had it. I don't mind having it after dinner, but it's usually a one and done.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of flavor. It's a lot, man.
Really?
Yeah, for me, it's just a lot. So I just like to keep it in the middle, you know?
Keep it in the middle.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to hit the edges.
No.
Yeah, you just want to get right in the center.
All right.
Hot dog down the hallway.
Easy peasy.
Right?
Well, when it comes to that, I like to beat up the sides.
You like to get the sides? You like the sides?
Yeah, I come off the top rope. I'm not hitting back here. I come off the top rope and bang the sides, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
That's what they get.
So, are you excited for PCA? Let's start there.
You know, every year I go through all the emotions, you know?
Indeed.
Part of me doesn't, you know, we're like, oh, we got to go to Vegas again.
Yeah.
Right? See the same freaking idiots that we see every year. And I don't mean the clients. I mean
the
idiots. Cigar people.
Most of them I like. There's a couple that, you know, I like to stare down, walk by them and, you know, fucking dick. under my breath so he could read my lips, but I won't say it.
Yeah.
And then you see your customers.
Right.
And the way you're doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real cool part is when you see guys that you only see once a year.
Yeah.
You know?
So you get to see them on the showroom floor. Then you usually, like, at the bar, you see them leave and go to bed. And then when they come out the next morning, you still see them because you're still at the bar.
You know, I avoid the bar.
You get to zoom 3 times.
You avoid the bar.
I've avoided the bar the last couple times.
Yeah.
I avoid the bar.
You know what? You have.
I have.
Because I saw you at the gym.
Yes.
We worked out.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, son of a bitch, there's Pete.
So
holy shit.
I usually get in a day early. We knock out the bar thing. You know?
We get that out of the way.
Yeah, we get that out of the way on Thursday.
Right.
Friday, you're kind of still recuperating and acclimating to the time and the heat and all that crap. And then Saturday, this is what we came for. Yeah. So I that first Saturday for me, it's like walking out of the tunnel with the smoke and the.
It's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's my Super Bowl.
You do your little Ray Lewis thing, like a fan. You know,
I did that the night before.
Yeah,
but
that's Thursday night.
So that's So and you know, as you go through it, and then when you're done, that red eye back is the best flight.
That thing always sucks.
I'm not taking that anymore.
Well, you know, it's the same. It's all the Miami people.
Yeah.
You go in there, and you know the guys that killed it, and then you know the guys that didn't. I always act like I killed it.
It's fucking amazing.
But it typically is. I mean, last year was our best trade show ever. The year before that was better than last year.
Are you saying by all brands or just particular brands?
You know, it's hard to tell because the dust, you know, the dust didn't settle yet. There's some that you know you blew up with. And then there's a couple that maybe we'll see when the dust settles because you really don't know until everything ships.
Right.
You know, you can kind of see what your numbers are. But yeah, last year was spectacular. You know, spectacular.
Are you going to tell retailers this year that they're just they're at the knee of
There was a guy last year that you told him he was not a good retailer. Yeah.
Abe is the master.
Abe is the master. I did not
and
say.
And you were just. You were
no,
just.
No, I did not say any of that. I did not say any of that. You know what? Abe came out with this thing with the NFT.
Yeah.
Right.
And the concept of it, when Abe explained it to me, because when they told me the price, I'm thinking that's kind of crazy. And then as he went down and explained how it worked, I just thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Which isn't surprising, man. Abe is definitely one of the most creative retailers. He is one of the hardest working. There's not a lot of bad you could say about him. He truly is, you know where you stand with him, you know?
The guy's always been nice to me, man.
Do you wish you could do more business with him? Yes. But he explains to you why you're not. I mean, you know, he's an open book. Really, that's all you can ask for.
Right.
You know, he's honest. You know.
Yeah. So we're all just.
Yeah. Have I been screwed? Yeah. Of course I have, bro. I used to carry a brand, and it took me a couple years to get him in. You know, to finally get him to place an order. He places an order for $4,000, and then some fucking pencil neck comes out and says, "Oh, look. You just brought that in? Oh, I bought a box on Thompson for nothing." Their last box, dude. That was when Thompson was on their way out for that last box. Fucking Abe sent that shit back.
Ooh.
And I said, "Bro, are you kidding me?" And he said, "Dude, I'm not going to buy some shit that's being discounted online."
Smart.
And I'm like, "No, not smart. It was like one box."
I like his swag.
Yeah.
Fuck your bullshit.
What am I going to get mad at him? I'm not going to get mad at him.
Hell no.
But he carries it now. Now he carries that same freaking line. The guy with the heavy accent that fucking made a shitty pig out here.
Right.
And now you know who carries it, right? Don't say his name.
He said made the shitty pig.
You know what I'm talking about.
You know, the way that this is going, it may be a Patreon. I mean, who knows?
It could be. All right, listen.
We can just drop that right now and then you can say anything you want.
And you know what? If I'm speaking that way about these guys, it's because I truly love them.
Right.
Yeah, it's no ill will. If I fucking, you want to go down that road, there's a handful of guys that I'd like to correct, but they're tied
right, welcome to the Patreon,
truck.
Everyone.
Yeah, bro. Tied in the back of the truck and fucking run around the parking lot a little bit. Hell yeah.
You know, so I've had a couple awesome experiences with Pete. Just kind of go. I've known Pete for the fucking duration, 15 years of this whole bullshit of being in this industry. And there was one time that we used to carry the 777s in this fucking store.
Yes.
And Pete got fired as a broker always do. They always break up with you.
Seems like it happens more to Pete though than most people.
No, man.
I just hear they're just more public.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks,
dude.
Sorry, Pete.
Dude,
he just has more cigars.
I've been doing it for a while, you know. Go ahead, finish your story.
I mean, I could tell. I was telling you about one that got it happened last week.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that wasn't Pete. So
No.
And he's another reputable person in the industry. So we were carrying 777s, and then, like, I think we were just kind of like, we're kind of over it and done. And Pete was like, okay, cool. So we walked by them in the booth.
And, oh, I know this story.
Yeah, and Pete says, hey, see, remember this guy? And then fucking Pete took my brother's badge. He flipped it over. He goes, won't be doing fucking business with you. And then kept walking.
Nice. Of course, bro. You got to let them have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can't catch feelings. I don't catch feelings when I get fired, you know, or get replaced.
Right.
You know, it's the game I play.
Yeah.
And I'm well aware of that going in. Does it hurt? Yeah, of course it hurts, especially, you put a lot of work into this, you know.
Yeah, you bust your ass.
Yeah.
Well, dude, you get fucking kicked in the dick half the time when you walk into retailers. You know, how they're all amazing.
Right.
They're so great.
Right.
They're great at what they do.
Yeah.
They couldn't tell you their profit and loss margins. They couldn't tell you what they did in sales for that year with your product. They couldn't tell you anything, but they're fucking amazing.
Right.
And.
Why do we want your cigar?
And they can't pay their bills.
Oh, that's the biggest one.
I mean, with me, nobody gets away with that because everything is a credit card.
Yeah, of course. But what I'm saying is, your card is declined. Right. And then they don't answer.
Right.
Because they know the cards.
I got the cell phones.
Me too.
I get through.
You're
Yeah, I get
through. You know, I'm just
call
like.
You from another number. I'll be like, bro.
He's got a burner phone.
Yeah, no, I'll find a way to get through. And if not, I'll show up, you know. It's disrespectful, you know. Don't do that to me.
That's shitty.
We're friends, bro.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not only about the business, because if it was only about, you'd be buying more from me.
Right.
So it's not that. There is a relationship, and I understand if you're going through a difficult time. I'm never trying to push more than anything one can handle.
Right.
You know?
Just call me.
No, don't
just
buy
tell
it.
Me.
You can't afford it. Don't buy it.
Hey, I don't got it right now, man. I
don't have
tight.
It, bro. I'll call you next week, but call me. Don't expect me to always remember to call you, but call me. You know, it's a symbiotic thing. You know, we're both trying to make money here.
Exactly.
You know, and as a broker, I think it happens as a shop as well. Sometimes you bring in a brand too soon. You bring in a brand and it's not taking off. You guys have 300 other brands that you need to promote. And then this might kind of fall on the wayside. It doesn't sell. Guys aren't paying attention. You have maybe the positioning of whatever it is.
Right.
And then guys aren't smoking it. And then you phase it out. And for you to bring that brand back in, my number is about 3 years. It takes about 3 years for you to remember the sting of that brand not selling in your humidor. And now maybe you'll bring it back. Sometimes it's not just 3 years. It's a new face.
Right.
So as a broker, sometimes I bring in a brand too soon. That's happened. And then it blows up later. You know, it does really well later. They change management. They hire a new rep. And now it does much better. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, look what happened with Aganorsa. You know?
Right.
So,
you mean Terrence?
With Terrence. Terrence got in there. They let the whole team go. And, well, let me tell you, Aganorsa, great tobacco. But when we were there, when I say we, my brother, and there's another four or five other guys, Mike Perales, Tom Poehler, Terry Coleman.
Like this inner sanctum broker guy.
Yeah, these guys had the Cigar Mafia practically on their team. And, man, the cigars, they just kept making a lot of mistakes. One of them, which, I couldn't understand, JFR, that was like our stronghold. That was a value-priced cigar that was in every store. And we were like 4 months, 6 months without shipping because we didn't have the boxes. Dude, nobody's buying that stuff by the box.
Right.
They're buying it by the handful anyway. Just ship bundles.
Right.
And manufacturers want to see their product in a certain way. And I understand that, too. At the end of the day, all three of us are trying to make this thing happen. And they wouldn't ship until, they received the boxes from China, and you lose market share, you lose shelf on the, room on the shelf, and then we're the ones at fault.
Right.
The broker, somebody always has to take the...
Somebody's always got to take the hit.
I've asked manufacturers, so what percentage of the success of a brand do you think you own? What percentage is the store, and what percentage is the broker? And some are... 30-30-30 or 33-33-33. Some will tell you, no, it's the store. I mean, once you buy the product, it's your responsibility to sell it, right?
Right.
And So then whose fault is it? And at some point, it's the manufacturer's responsibility to get people to walk in through the door and ask for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask for it, right? At some point, you carry a brand for a couple of years, and I still got to come here and push it and sell it to you and sell it to your customers and talk about it. I mean, I don't mind doing that.
Right.
But at some point, it's got to move on its own.
Right. You know?
And so who owns that responsibility? I think in every situation, it's different. Yeah, I've been known to bring in a brand too soon, and a couple years later, you see it kind of dies, and I will never not assume responsibility for my part of it.
Right.
But there's other two guys on the team that are trying to move this product, and why? How come? And then they'll tell me, but I'm growing in other markets, and I could tell you, well, I'm growing with other brands.
Right.
What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, right.
what do you think?
What do you think? I'm not offering your product, or maybe. When I go there again and I visit the customer and on that second cycle and product is still on the shelf, then they're not selling it. Yeah, well, there's that.
Right.
And then, you know, again, we go back to who.
Right.
Who's responsible.
Right. And then there are different techniques. You've got companies, manufacturers that decide that their show deal will be buy 150 boxes, get 50 free.
Yeah.
Sometimes that works. They figure that when you cycle through 150 boxes, something's got to stick. Some of the guys are going to like it, some of the guys are going to want to repeat it and come back to it, appreciate the price, see the value. And then other guys, next year's trade show, he still has 100 boxes of the 150 he bought.
Right. Well, 200. He's got 200.
Yeah, he's got 200. Yeah, and that shit didn't sell.
Can I take any of these back this year? You need to take some of these back.
Dude, what did you do?
Can I get a refund?
What did you do to sell it? I mean, he didn't do anything.
Right.
First thing you do is you make four packs. You put one of each, one of the free ones, and you push that out, and you get it in people's hands because your money's invested in that.
Right.
I mean, that's what you want to push. Anyone could sell the big guys, you know.
Right.
Everybody comes in asking for Oliva or come in asking for Fuente. No one's going to come in asking for Tatuaje.
Yeah.
They can't pronounce it.
Right, they can't say the word.
They can't even say the word. Yeah. But if the shop guy likes it, if the owner is a big fan of the product, then that's what he's smoking. And people will come in and, what are you smoking? And that's the way it works, you know?
Yeah.
And trickle-down economics, I guess, right?
Trickle-down.
I don't know.
I have a question.
Yeah, okay.
So you as a retailer, because you also own a brand.
Misery's. Mute that shit, goddammit. God damn.
Oh, sorry.
Fuck.
You as a retailer, who do you think you have a better relationship with for sales or just in general? A broker or a rep that works for
it
the
doesn't
brand?
Matter.
It doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. No. It's a personality.
That's irrelevant.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes you have a better relationship with a guy you hardly buy from.
Yeah.
There you have that. That sucks, by the way. That sucks. That's being put in the friend zone. The proverbial friend zone. Yeah, you know, you get to go, you hang out, they love seeing you, you go to lunch, and all, and then you walk out fucking empty handed.
Didn't buy a damn thing.
Fucking, you know, gotta tell you. And that happens more often than you think.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how often you hit the road, and I'm on my third day, dude, and I visited, you know, 12, 13 accounts that haven't sold anything.
Right.
Mm.
And you can't. I mean, I'm writing orders. I'm getting emails. You're getting orders, but you want to see orders from the ones that you're doing from your work.
From walking in.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't have space. You still have product from the last time. You know, you work the humidor a little bit, but you're there for 2 hours. You meet maybe six customers.
Right.
That really doesn't move the needle.
Right.
You know, and you want to come up with ideas. You want to host an event. But he still has the product. And, you know, what kind of an event are we going to do? I mean, cutting light, so I'm going to throw another 3 hours of my time and try to move the product that you had in hopes that you give me an order. I mean, it's complicated, you know. It's not easy. It seems like it is fun. We got that.
It's fun if you have thick skin.
It's fun if you're successful a little bit. If you can see a little bit of success.
Yeah.
If you get a taste of that you bought here, you know, they bought from you here, they bought from you there. When you're with one customer and the guy carries all your brands, man, that feels great to go into that shop and do business with that guy because you feel he appreciates you. And, you know, and then the manufacturers think that it's because their cigars are great.
Right.
And it's really the relationship you have.
Yeah, they're buying you, really. They're not buying the cigar.
I think
to some degree, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if the cigar sells, it sells. You know?
That helps.
Right. Well, if I lose Tatuaje, I guarantee I'm not going to my shops aren't going to stop carrying it. There's a percentage of them that will carry the new stuff because the shelf space kind of belongs to me.
Right.
Same thing here. You know, if I lose Dunbarton, God forbid,
right,
you know, you guys aren't going to stop buying Dunbarton.
No.
No, you know. But you will make some space for me and then my new endeavor, the new, because we have a relationship.
Right.
But yeah, it's an interesting,
and that breaks, goes back to what's the manufacturer doing for you? Like, are they helping to create that demand? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, or is there effort?
Some people just don't know how to do it. Some people, rely strictly on the product. There's so much involved, you know,
there is.
There's so much involved. I know. Having a great cigar. So let's say there's four or five things important things for a brand to succeed, right? Having a great cigar.
It's not one of them.
It's the least important one.
It's not one of them.
It's the least, yeah. Oh, but smoke it. Doesn't matter, bro. Really doesn't matter. If I like it or don't like it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know? What are your samples like? How much money do you have to do this shit? How much tobacco do you have?
Right.
Who's making your cigar, you know? Are you ready to travel? Are you? And the guy's got to be dynamic. The guy's got to be cool.
Yep.
And that doesn't always work. You know? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's there are a lot of things, and obviously, the most important thing is you got to be out there grinding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
true.
There's no simple.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that. I wish I was selling, I don't know, bourbon. No, I don't.
You'd be dead. Yeah, you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I'd have to sell something I don't like.
Rum. Sell the rum.
Yeah, yeah. I like rum, but I just drink it. No, I don't drink it. Too sweet.
Too much sugar.
Yeah, too much sugar. Yeah. You want to avoid that.
Yeah, but if you got some shit in the trunk. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll try anything once, almost, man, twice.
Do you remember that there was a Simpsons episode where what was the guy's name, the drunk guy?
Barney.
Barney went sober.
Oh, and he was like super smart.
And his hair was straight, and he was, you know, all of a sudden, and then like fucking, and then all of a sudden one day he took a sip of beer and went right back to his fucking gut and fucking tears. Yeah. And like, blah, blah. I feel like that's we get two episodes of Pete here. Like, you can have Pete strategizing and like well thought out and speaking everything perfectly to a T. And then you can get Pete Hernandez telling Jose Ortega of Pepe Garcia's cigars to go fuck himself.
I wouldn't say it to that guy, but
I was there. Yeah. It was pretty close to that. Oh, dear God.
Oh, gosh.
It was, I thought
it was hyperbole.
No, you said something. It wasn't go fuck yourself, but you said something. He's like, what did you just say? And you're like, you fucking heard me. I'm like, this is amazing.
Okay. All right. That being said, just so you understand, Jose Ortega and I go back a long way.
Yeah.
Jose Ortega was really good. Well, no, the thing is that you can speak a certain way to certain people because of the relationship
Of course.
And Jose Ortega, are we talking about bow tie or
the big one? No, okay, not the little one.
So the
not
big the one.
Not the little one.
Yeah, the big one and my brother were really, really good friends. And so me and the little one, we kind of inherited each other.
Right.
I'm probably closer to bow tie than I am to the. But that being said, Jose Ortega is like a brother to me.
Right.
Because not because of the time we spent together, because he was my brother's brother.
Right.
So he, you know, there's a certain level that we have to, you know, because we inherited each other.
Right.
What was really cool this weekend, I was actually with my nephew, and this was a great weekend. So we went to see the Yankees play in spring season. What do they call that? Yeah, spring ball.
Spring training.
Right, spring training. Thank you, Mike. And
he's a big sports guy.
Big sports
guy. Yeah, he loves sports.
I'm not that big of a.
Neither is he.
Yeah.
He's being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. Well,
they were scoring touchdowns, right, at the baseball game.
So my cousin is my mom's first cousin is Omar Minaya. He is an advisor now to the Yankees. He was GM to the Mets back in the day in 2000s when they brought all those Dominicans over and whatever. This guy is the best. He's such a great guy, and I hardly know him. My grandmother brought his father in the early 60s. From the Dominican Republic, and she brought all her family, and so he turns out, you know, we're all from Corona, Queens, and he turns out to play baseball, and he becomes a general manager of the New York Mets. And during the Subway Series, I think it was in 2000, my brothers were able to watch the game with him. Dude, that was an amazing, and he's 10 years older than I am, so we really never crossed paths.
Right.
But he is just an amazing guy. He was interviewed by Cigar Illustrated in the 2000s, and he called my house and asked my mom, what's the name of Paul's cigar bar? Because he got interviewed by Aficionado and by Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. I said Sports Illustrated said cigar the first illustrated. Time. Yeah, I know.
He did say
he said Cigar Illustrated.
He kind of like merged.
Well, Cigar Aficionado.
He said Cigar Sports Aficionado.
Gotcha. We got you. We got there.
Yeah, so he called my mom to find out what Paul's, the cigar bar's name was, so he could mention it in the interview. Yeah.
He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that, you know. Every chance, when I told him, my kids, he couldn't make it yesterday, but I was there with the kids. He would have been the highlight. But I told him, yeah, maybe I'll bring my, oh, if you bring your mom, let me know. I'll make sure I'm there. When he was honored in the Dominican Republic, he took my grandmother down there to see. I mean, he was just a great guy.
Right.
And we're so, I'm really fortunate. So I was able to spend all weekend with my three kids, my nephew, and I went down the line. None of my brother's friends had met my nephew. And so I went down the line. I called everybody FaceTime, and I'm like, hey, bro, I want you to meet somebody. Who? This is Anthony Paul Hernandez. I can't tell you how many guys I made cry this weekend.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Oh, it was amazing.
Dude.
Oh, my God. I kept. Oh, they went right into, bro, your brother. Let me tell you, we did this. And it was great.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I mean, he was 6 months old. No, he was like a year old when my brother passed away. Actually, what's today's date?
March 11th.
It'll be 15 years tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. 15 years tomorrow that he passed away. And
oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a shit sandwich, you know. It's yeah, yeah.
Till this day,
I probably, I don't want to say I took it the best. I'm just grateful he was in my life and that he and I there was never a go fuck yourself. They didn't fix any problems we had. We never held a grudge, and I wish I could have been able to do this while he did it, and you know, learned from him. But he truly is. He was an amazing guy. He really. I almost feel a little jealous when I hear everyone
talk about him.
Yeah, how amazing he is. But I'll never, this isn't me, bro. I didn't create all this.
Right.
You know, he paved the way. He opened the door and paved the way for me, and I was able to walk through, and I'm just grateful I haven't fucked it up after all these
right.
years. You know? That's always possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we've seen some times we're like, oh, yeah. Can he walk that back? Yeah. I guess, yeah. No, he walked it back.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm pretty good at that. That's kind of my superpower.
So when do you think that you're going to replace Alfredo for the Guy Fieri brand? I'm just kind of curious. When do you think that goes down?
Yeah, you know.
Speaking of which, walk that back.
No. I'm cool.
We have Jack on the phone right now. He wants to.
I'm cool with all those guys. Sorry.
Of course.
I didn't realize.
I wouldn't say all these things. Of course. Like,
listen, bro. I didn't realize. What a fanboy I can be. That's really what it comes down to. I could really athletes and actors. Most people I see them, I don't give a shit.
Right.
But then you've got these key individuals that I didn't realize, but I've seen all their stuff. Right.
Right.
A perfect example. I'm a huge fan of Guy Fieri, by the way.
Right.
Huge fan.
Oh.
I got the book. Oh, yeah. I'm a
really?
Huge. Oh, dude. I've watched all the Diner Drive-Ins and Dives.
You touched him?
I've hung out with him
In
like 2012. Not with him.
Yeah.
There was a whole group. And it was
in the bathroom.
Food and wine show in Miami. And I was fortunate enough, one of those guys, they came up to me and they wanted a, back then it was illegal. It's legal now. I can leave. And I put them in touch with someone who, you know, they were, right.
Yeah, handle some things.
Not because I did any, but
right.
I,
right.
You knew
you know,
people.
Hey, I'm from Miami, right?
Yeah, like Skittles.
There's always a guy. Yeah.
And so that was cool. I had met him then, and he was a really cool guy.
Right.
So here we are. Fast forward. Yeah. You know what? Fuck Alfredo. Not only does he
there
have,
it is.
There we go.
Not only does he have Guy
time
Fieri.
Stamp? Time. What was time?
He's got my other favorite guy, Joe Rogan.
29.
And so Joe Foundation. Rogan smokes Foundation.
Oh.
God. It kills me every time he lights a Foundation cigar. But, you know, Nick's a great guy, and Alfredo's my buddy, so who cares? But, yeah, so as the story goes, when I see him at the trade show, I see him at a bunch of events. I'm not going to wait online.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're Pete.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. I don't wait online I don't wait online for food, really. I'm going to wait online to see this guy to shake his hand with him. Dude, we met in 2012.
Remember, I got you.
Oh, I want to touch him. Can't talk about that here.
So I see him on his way to the bathroom, and he's surrounded like he's Biden. He's got an entourage. And as I approach him, these guys look at me like I'm a Taliban.
To Tony Gomez? Son of a bitch, Tony Gomez.
I like him. So that's how
he strong-armed us 1 year at the PCA. Wouldn't let us talk to Guy Fieri.
Yeah. Oh, really? But I got snubbed real quick.
Yeah, we just got Matt Booth and fucking... Yeah.
Right. We'll be right back.
Yeah, like, fuck you.
So I'm at a cigar shop in Delray. It's a great story. I'm at a cigar shop in Delray.
Wait a second. Wait. You got to talk about the bathroom story.
He's going to the bathroom.
I tried to approach him. These guys are like, dude, like I'm a terrorist. And then
you can't touch him. Sorry, he's peeing.
No, it was on the way.
I swear to God, I won't touch his
dick. He wasn't dick in hand.
I won't touch his dick, I swear. But I want to see it.
And Guy says, hey, man, this guy's got something to say. And I just want to, dude, I'm just your biggest fan. I wanted to step up and say hello. I see you at these events, and I'm not waiting online, but just wanted to tell you, dude, I'm a big fan. I don't know. That's what I think I said. I swear, bro. Those are the words that came out of my mouth.
We can get Jack Tronio on the phone right now to clarify.
And if I said some shit about Alfredo, it wasn't jest. Like if I said, yeah, fuck that guy. Yeah. By the way, when I call Alfredo, the conversation starts. Hey, what's up, cocksucker? Hey, what's up, cocksmoker?
Right.
And, you know, so Alfredo's not going to take that personally. I would never work with the guy Alfredo works with. I wouldn't work with any of those guys. Well, maybe.
What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I wouldn't work with Nick because obviously he's with Alfredo. I wouldn't work with Dion.
Yeah, but if Alfredo got dropped, if you got replaced.
I don't want Dion, and I'm not interested in that.
No, but Dion was originally with you.
Right. So not interested in with him now.
We're not taking him back.
Not taking him back.
You're going to tell me that if Eric called you and said, hey, listen.
I'd say no. 100%. 100%.
You can work with Guy Fieri.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Bro, you could touch him.
Wouldn't do it.
You could touch him.
Bro, you could see his wiener.
Yeah.
Swear to God, I wouldn't do it. And it's nothing against
You can fire
Eric.
His plane.
No one's more proud for Eric for what he's done to start off like us as a waiter, so to speak, and then to become this manufacturer that he is and all the hard work he's poured into that. There's no ill will, nothing. Eric and my brother worked, they were counterparts, like, you know, like me and Alfredo, like Groover and me, you know, my brother, they worked together. In fact, at my brother's funeral, Eric stood out there. There must have been over 100 guys smoking cigars, and Eric held court, and he was telling stories about my brother and him and when they would run into each other. And, dude, there's no ill will, but there are guys that I just wouldn't work with there's just no interest, you know? There's no interest. If I didn't have Steve, I'd love to work with Nicholas. You know? Absolutely. With Tatuaje, I don't want my father. Not at all. I'm good. Right. You know? I like Pete. I like working with Pete. I like that product. I like the way he operates. I don't think I would want to work with Jose Ortega or, you know, I don't know. And I don't mean that as a dig.
Yeah, no.
I'm just happy where I'm at, you know?
Right.
I like working with Pete. Are there guys I wish I could work with? Yeah, I'd love to work. You know, I love Matt Booth. Are you kidding me? That guy's amazing. Right. But I don't think that's ever going to happen, you know? And as much as I like him, I don't even know what he makes. I don't know what his cigars take. It doesn't matter. I just think he's really cool, and I'd love, you know, it'd be a cool guy. I'd like to travel with him anyway.
Oh, yeah, and his gold helicopter.
Yeah, he's got a golden helicopter. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. STG. He's got an STG gold helicopter.
Hell yeah, I'd like to work with Matt.
With a golden toilet.
Yeah, it's a golden toilet.
Golden
in the
toilet.
Golden.
I'm going to call him right now. We get over the phone.
I'm
sure you do.
Everybody has Matt's number.
Yeah. Whenever I see him, dude, it's always a good feeling.
Yeah.
There are guys that I would love to work with, and there are guys that there's zero interest. I'm glad I work with Justo and not Christian.
Right.
Custo's an amazing individual.
He's a very nice man.
You know?
He is.
I've been fortunate enough to work with some great guys. Work with guys that you can't even sell their cigars. I work with Quesada. That was to work with that guy. He's such a gentleman, you know?
Right.
And it's such the nostalgia of the family. And I loved working with that family. But sometimes, you know, they're not making money. I'm not making money. You know, it's time to move on. Right. You know, and that's why there's no feeling in it. But when you think you're doing all right, and then you get, you know, you get chopped off at the knees.
Yeah,
that sucks. But you know, I don't have to provide expense reports. I don't have to write notes. I don't have to, you know, I go where shops that I want to go to. If I don't want to do business with a store, I won't do business with them, you know, where this, the office can tell you, hey, I need you to visit the one. Your job is to visit all the accounts.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to. You know, there are accounts out there that the best accounts take care of themselves. I'm trying to keep it.
As a walk back.
Well, no, you know, there's accounts out there that, you know, that you don't have to visit all the time.
And right.
They take care of themselves. When they need something, they order. If you wanted, you can visit them a few times, 10, 12, three times a year.
Right.
Yeah. They don't want you in there more than that. They're happy with the amount of attention you give them. You handle them on the phone and they're happy.
Right.
And you want to do an event and you go in and it's a great time and you sell boxes and all that's important. You know, it's the relationship, you know, that's I love this business, man.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
I love you too.
Oh, we love you too.
Oh, yeah. I love you too. Two boots. God damn it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I feel like you're away from us. I feel, you know,
we keep him over there on purpose. Right.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So, it's handsy.
Oh, okay, I don't.
Okay, so we're gonna bring a camera out to this PCA. We're gonna try and gauge some specific things. We're hoping to catch Pete out in the wild.
Oh, doing this. You will.
No, you won't.
Oh, you
I'm
will.
Behaving, maybe.
That's not.
I mean, who knows? Who knows what out in the wild looks like? It could be you just hustling and working.
Man. No, that's what I think it means. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and my natural habitat. Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
If you're not sweating, I know that you didn't go hard in the paint the night prior. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I don't sweat anymore.
You don't sweat?
No. I mean, I gotta be on a treadmill or chasing some shit. Or, I gotta be, you know, moving, thinking fast. I mean, I don't sweat that easily anymore. But
how's that knee?
The knee's great.
This good, time. Perfect. Yeah,
right, thanks for asking.
Yeah, no problem.
I was in pain last
week. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all bullshit, wasn't it? Yeah, I had to carry that bullshit for a little while. I don't remember why I was saying I had a broken, I had a hurt knee. It was a reason.
I know why.
Yeah, why wasn't it? Yeah. We don't want
to. He might have to borrow.
I don't want to do that. He might borrow your
scooter, Michael. Around
let's,
day
not, let's not do that. I don't want to do that to you.
Might have to walk that one back.
Let that one go. I'm glad your knee's better.
I faked it at one point, and then I had to carry the fake on.
Yeah.
Yeah, for just to maintain the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like 3 days, I was, fuck.
Yeah, if you watch the beginning of the podcast, when I legitimately say, well, Pete said he was on his way, so that could mean fucking anything.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
There are some stories that you have told me that we cannot speak about.
Yeah, no, we can't.
Yeah, they're fucking amazing.
Yeah, this is a lot of good times, man. We've had a lot of good times here. It's been a good run. So this is Shopping Day in Delray Beach, right? Smoke in Delray, and I walk in, and then there's this guy, and I'm with the owner. I said, "Hey, is that?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's Kevin James."
Oh,
dude. A thing came over me. You thought I was a fan of fucking Fieri.
Oh, you never met Kevin James now.
I had never met Kevin James. Yeah. Not only that, at that moment, it all rushed me. So I'm from Corona, Queens, from the King of Queens.
Oh, right. You remembered all the episodes.
Oh, dude, I know them all.
Yeah.
Not only that, because of the age of my kids, all his movies are kid-friendly.
Right.
So I seen them all. What else have I seen of his stuff? I like his comedy, and you know, I just thought it comes across as an all around great guy.
So instant erection.
Oh, instant erection. Yes. So he's at the register talking to a friend, and I interrupt the conversation. I went, dude, I can't believe I just did that. I said, you know what's crazy? And I go on a rant. I go, you know, it's crazy.
You just keep talking and talking.
Dude, what's crazy is that my daughter is a huge fan of Justin Bieber and One Direction. And her mother and I have no idea where she got that fanaticism from. And I realize she gets it from me. Dude, I've watched everything you've ever made. I'm from Corona, Queens. I've been to the Lemon Ice King a billion times.
Oh, you gave him the rundown.
Oh, dude, I've watched all your shows, all your movies, because my kids are young and your movies are perfect. Oh, my, dude, he was buying a box of, when I was repping EPC, was buying a box of the Inch, and that's my brand. Oh, my God. I went out to the car, God. Got a box of cigars, handed out cigars like my wife gave birth.
I just met Kevin James. Here's one for you.
To this day, I still don't know what his voice sounds like if he spoke. Yeah, he didn't say one fucking word. Not one word. Right?
He was probably speechless.
Dude,
he's like, get the fuck out of here.
Is this guy?
Cash me out. Cash me out now.
This guy's not going to kidnap me, is he?
A couple days later, I get a letter
from the court.
Vinny, the owner of the shop, calls me. He goes, hey, man, you know who just came by here and asked about you? I went, Kevin? He goes, no fucking body.
What a horrible fucking joke.
That was great. Put me right back in my place.
That was amazing.
Never saw Kevin James again.
That was it.
I did see Guy Fieri at the Great Smoke. He was right next to me.
Yeah.
Did you talk to him?
I kept my composure. He didn't look at me, and I did not look at him.
How'd you know he was next to you?
It was right next door.
Peripherals, baby.
Yeah,
peripherals.
There's a long line of people, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, they were waiting to talk to.
It wasn't like there's a wall. I mean, I saw him there. He was, you know, I don't know if he was a little nervous.
he knew Pete was next.
Maybe he got a little gun shy. You know?
He's going, can't go to the bathroom. This guy's going to follow me.
Yeah, he didn't go to the bathroom.
I remember this last time.
I'm going to talk to Jack.
I really got to pee, but I can't go.
I'm like, hey, listen, how can we convince Guy to approach Pete and be like, hey, listen, I've heard great things. I really want you on the team. Just to see how Pete reacts.
I'm your biggest fan.
I'm fucking down.
Right now,
fuck,
let's go.
Alfredo. Yeah.
I'll
fucking kill him for you today. We'll fucking bury that motherfucker. He'll be dead.
I actually do a little, like, I probably did 5 or 6 where I get out of the car and I tell people, kind of like the Guy Fieri's, hey, how you doing?
You used to do it when you walked in.
Yeah. Right. And I never did that before. I always did that before he was in the circuit. I just love the way I love how he does things, bro. I love how he's a dad. I love how he cooks whatever. And I just like the guy he is. And you always imagine him to being that guy when you're in front of him. And I understand he is. I wouldn't know. There's a cease and desist. I'm not allowed 50 feet. I have to be 50 feet away from him.
I have a restraining order.
Yeah.
That's not that far. You can still see him.
Yeah. That's why maybe I didn't say anything at the Great Smoke because he was right there next to me. I didn't want him to call the cops.
Call the police.
Yeah. I do have one of the boxes signed by him, though.
Oh, nice.
With the cigars in it or?
Negative. Yeah, I don't know what the cigars taste like. I don't, you know. Yeah,
I'm sure they're good.
Yeah, I'm sure they're good. They're made by Eric or whoever makes them. Yeah, and Eric's, you know, Eric's a good guy. Eric's, you know.
Eric is a great guy.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Absolutely. His son, Hector's a great guy. I'm cool with Taranio. All those guys are good, you know. I love what they do. And I listen, man, this is a really difficult business and I'm so glad that Eric is as successful as he is. And I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart because everything he's done has been so difficult. He's worked with Rocky. That didn't work out. He worked with Miami Cigar. That didn't work out. And, you know.
Ortega.
The thing with Ortega. That didn't work out. I mean, you know, it's been a tough go here. And he's, you know, not to take anything away from him, but it's not like he's a street guy. He's a guy who shakes hands and kisses babies and tells jokes and does magic tricks.
He does magic tricks.
Dude, he is hilarious. Yeah. Few people can tell a story the way Eric can, and he does it in his way, and it's so iconically his. It's his. The way he speaks and the way that he's hard to imitate and hard to confuse for anyone else.
Right.
And he's, bro. Yeah, bro. And everybody does their rendition of Eric Espinosa. Have you seen who is it that does it when Sammy sings, what is it? A Lynyrd Skynyrd song that Eric likes?
No.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Sammy from La Palina?
Really?
Oh, my God. He did a Facebook skit once. Oh, bro.
That was amazing.
But he is one of those guys that everybody, I've seen Rocky try to imitate him. I've seen Nish. So that's kind of cool that, you know, other guys are mocking you that way.
Yeah.
You know? I wouldn't even know how to mock Pete Johnson. I wouldn't know how to mock Steve Saka. Not that I would, guys. I wouldn't do that.
You would never.
No,
never,
I don't
never
do that. That. I do not do that.
Never do that.
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, Eric's always fucking awesome with me. I like, he'll pick up, we'll have a conversation in 30, 40 minutes about fucking just industry shit and like I appreciate that. You know, I would say that there's probably, I don't know, being this far along in the industry, it's cool to have the friends that I have where they're at. You know, like Eric, like Booth, obviously Skip, Michael, like, you know, those guys, they're all fucking inner circle. Not you two. No, not you two idiots. I'm talking about, like, actually accomplished people in the industry.
I didn't say anything. Don't look at me. Yeah, yeah.
It's BDP.
I wouldn't expect it to get you to say my name. I'm not in that caliber.
No, you're a part of my team. You're with me.
Yes.
So it's cool to be to get that like level of respect from those dudes. You know, I would have never thought that. That's that's one of the cool things. But like you said at the beginning of this interview, you know, the levels of emotions that kind of hit you through PCA.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different fucking things, right? I feel like every year I go in and I'm like, all right, this is going to be amazing. Like, we're fucking, yes, yes. And then every year I get fucking knocked back down three pegs, right? You get fucking people, some people treat you like complete shit, you know. Even with the cool interactions and the fun adventures that you have when you're there and, you know, the conversations and shit, there's still those things. Like, people still aren't excited as I am about my shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just, that's the kind of the fascinating part to me, you know? And then like I had it was a big issue going into this. Like, so PCA hit last year and we did the Connecticut and I fucking love the Connecticut and I'm like, this thing is going to be fucking killer. Right. And it hit pretty well and it had pretty good demand and I'm seeing reposts and all this other shit all across the nation. I'm like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. And then, but like still, I still got fucking pelted by some of these guys, like, how about that cigar? Not acknowledged. And like, you know, all some of these top 25 dudes who I'm like tight with. I'm like, hey, fuck you guys.
Yeah, where's my cigar?
You know, like, what the fuck? Like, Half Wheel fucking got it right. I got right, two nods on that, you know. But, all right, thanks for letting me know that I still got some work to do, right? I still got to keep fucking going. So, so now I'm going into this PCA like, I don't fucking know, you know. I don't fucking know.
You just never know.
You just never fucking know.
And you don't know who's showing up, and you don't know who's showing up ready to buy. And, you know, you just... But we will have a good time.
Yeah. My main focus is always just going to see what's Pete doing. Yeah, that's pretty much where I lean on now at this point. Like, where's Pete?
Where's Pete?
There are two companies that I'm looking at that I'd like to bring into the fold. One of them I thought it was sealed up. The guy hasn't called me in a while. He knows I'm ready to place an order, and he hasn't reached out. And so I don't want to, you know.
Like a retailer?
No, a manufacturer. A shop. Yeah, I mean a cigar, you know. Dude, it's a lot of work, and I don't want to work with companies that I have to do all the heavy lifting, you know.
Right.
You know, where I've got to not only introduce the cigar, I've got to talk about the guy, I've got to tell the whole story.
Right.
And, you know, and...
So you have certain requirements.
Of course he does.
And I think every store should have a certain, requirements, you know, I think it's just as important for me as it is for you that the guy has some notoriety, the guy is presentable, that he can, if there's a face, if that the guy's helps. A face, that the guy can come in here and talk it up and impress your guys. And if he can't do it, I'll do it. But I obviously you want the guy from the company to come and do his song and dance. And
the character.
You know,
to some degree.
Yeah, have the face of a brand. You know, he's got to control tobacco. So you want to make sure that... You know, you don't sell the first go round and then you go into back order and, you know, now you're in back order for 2 months on a certain size or don't make 12 sizes, just 3-4 sizes and you know, kind of get the ball rolling and he's ready to go and grind because Florida's not like every other state.
No.
You know, no one's impressed by anyone in this business, you know. And
right.
So the further away from the sun, you know, the less strong are the rays. So when you go, you know, when you're in I don't know, Indianapolis or Kentucky or in Illinois, we got great fanboys there. But I'm sure that when Carlito goes out there to do an event or Rocky Patel goes out there or even a smaller manufacturer goes out there, he gets a lot more recognition.
Right, a
lot more people, a lot more pop than you get here, you know. I'm fortunate that my guys don't even travel with me. You know, Pete Johnson and Steve Saka, rarely do they do an event, you know. Aladino, that guy is traveling crazy as well. So I don't have a lot of guys that I can bring to the dance and everyone's going to be all impressed on how they are and who they are. And my guys are kind of tired of that too. I ask Pete Johnson the same freaking questions they ask him every year. Well, how'd you get into this? So, you know, how'd you come out with the Monster series? So, dude, all that shit's out there, you know?
Right.
So, and Pete's kind of a recluse. He's not really,
yeah.
You know, he's not, let's see, like Steve Sakka, who loves being, and I wouldn't want to, I'm not going to call it the limelight, but he understands the value of
right.
the media, and he's out there. He's a great marketer. He's not even out there talking to customers. You go to his booth, he's got a chair and a sofa, and he's got everything booked. So if you're going there to hang out with Steve as a retailer or as a consumer, unless you're with the media, he's doing interviews. He's right. pushing his company forward, as he should be, you know?
Right.
So everybody has just a different style, and you have, you know, the big guys, the Padrones, those guys don't do nothing.
Right.
They're still waiting on George to go back and talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, they're at the show.
Yeah. But George was going to give us samples one time. He said, hey, let me give you some cigars.
He said, hey, wait here. I'll go get you guys some cigars.
I was like, oh, I'm like, I was shocked. I was shocked at that statement.
That was the guy in the suit?
I was like, yeah. I was like, shit, hold on. Like, wait a second. We might.
Yeah, that's
Wait, no, he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, I don't even know who makes that cigar.
He left.
And then we saw him with a glass a few minutes later. Like, he just went and got a drink. Yeah, he's not even coming back.
Yeah, I forgot.
Hey, you know what, guys? You know what? Go fuck yourselves. I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's what he should have just said.
You know what? Oh, that's great. Oh,
at least then we would have left the booth.
Oh, you're an account? Okay, you spend money? Okay, cool.
I tell you, the coolest thing that happened to me this year, which I knew I had made it, right? So
you had arrived.
Dude, I have arrived. So I'm at the cathedral. And I'm sitting with a group of guys, and I think Wester Ray, those guys were having a sales meeting, and Carlito was in the house, right? And I see he walks out of the thing, and he waves, and I wave, and he wasn't waving at me. I put my hat down. I put my hand down. Yeah, but what was cool, he did come by. He noticed that, and he did come back later. He did come back later, aww. And from the top balcony, he goes, hey, Pete! And he waved at me. I was, oh, wow. I didn't even know he knew my name. That was kind of cool.
That was nice.
Well, he probably sat down with his friends and said, this fucking idiot over here. I just waved
that guy
to him.
That thinks I waved at him?
Like, oh, that's Pete Hernandez. Like, okay.
I think it was more like, hey, keep your eye on that guy. Which guy? The one that waves back. Right? Hey, Pete! Yeah, keep your eye on that fucking guy. Yeah, the one that waves back. Make sure you fucking pat him down before he leaves.
All right, well, we got to go upstairs. We got to do a meeting, so.
That's it? Is that it? We're not going to talk about what I'm coming out with and the different blends and...
No, we don't give a fuck
rappers.
About it. We don't care about any of that shit.
Yeah, we don't
do
that.
Patreon? Are we doing the Patreon?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well,
yeah.
That's all right, because I don't fucking know.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it tells me shit.
We don't fucking care.
Yeah, well.
That's just not important. You can go on some of that other fucking podcasts.
You bullshit. Know those, that podcast. That's all bullshit.
Yeah,
that's right. How about that?
By the way, do you have any samples of those?
We want to talk about the real shit. We want to talk about the bathroom fucking fights with Guy Fieri, the fucking,
Didn't make it to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We didn't make it to the bathroom. Yeah. I do have another funny story. Check it out.
You laughed at him at the urinal, I heard.
Already he's really big, bro.
Little Guy Fieri, you said, or some shit.
So I'm in
I want a real salesman with a big dick.
That's what you said, or something like that.
Hey, bro.
So I'm in the bathroom. This is one of the other years. Right?
Oh, a lot of bathroom stories with me.
No, I wasn't in the bathroom with him.
So you're in the bathroom with Kevin James.
No, I'm in the bathroom by myself in my own stall. And I hear these two guys speaking Spanish. I kind of recognize the voices. And then you hear. Oh, I know who those guys are. Hey, you fuckers better keep it down over there.
Alfredo, is that you, Alfredo?
Higher names, bigger names.
Oh, bigger names.
Bigger names. Don't even mention them because
I won't.
We don't need that smoke. We probably know who they are.
I got to be honest, personally, I don't fucking care about the smoke. I love the smoke, but I won't do that to you. That's not to them.
They're good guys.
That's their shit. That was years ago. Yeah, maybe, you know.
Maybe they handed it to me under the stall. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Allergy season. Who knows?
Pollen. Right. It's all the pollen.
Yeah. It's dry out there.
It's very dry out there.
It's very dry out there. Yeah. So, yeah, man, thank you guys for tuning in this week. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for waiting for me.
Yeah, of course.
And, let's see. We go put some pen to paper up there.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get the fuck out of here, quick, before you guys get a
movie. Hey, and let's do this shit after the PCA, and we'll recap.
I like that.
A PCA recap. Yes. That sounds like a good idea.
You should be a regular on the show.
I'd love to be.
Like, you need to kind of rotate in.
Right.
And say, hey.
Mondays.
Yeah. Right.
Come in Monday morning right. and then just kind of fucking hit it.
I'm in. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I love, you know.
We could talk about, like, you know, some shit that goes out on the road, like your last gallivant, what happened, what went down or whatever.
You know, they're not as interesting as they used to be.
I'm sure, but yeah. there's still those interactions. There's still those comments that somebody says to you, you're just like, the fuck was that?
Get the fuck out of here.
You know? Right. You know, we really want the monsters only from Tatuaje. Can you, how do we make right. that happen?
Oh,
just the Frankenstein. Yeah. I only want the Frankenstein.
Oh, can you get me the Andalusian Bull? Like, I don't even fucking sell LFD.
So a guy, 2 years ago, this guy called me to go see
him. You triggered.
They want me to go see him. They tell me, listen, we're not going to open the account yet. With Dunbarton, we're not going to open the account yet, but we want to taste the cigar. We want to see the price. We want you to come up here and do your job.
Kiss
right?
the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. I'll do it. 2 hour drive.
Right.
Get there. We did that. No purchase. I knew that going in.
Right. Right.
Didn't like it, but I knew it going in.
Did it anyways.
Calls me back like 8 months later. This time I'm thinking we're putting pen to paper.
This is it. We're here.
We're here to do this. Another 2 hour drive. I go up there and then we have to wait. But as we're speaking, the son of the owner says, so, Pete, if we bring this in, well, can we expect you here again in less than 3 years? I said, of course, man. If we're doing business.
Threw a jab.
Oh, 3 years. Oh, yeah. 3 years. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I was like, of course, man. If we're doing business. Of course, we're going to come by.
I've been here almost twice now in 8 months.
And then he throws, like 20 minutes go by, and he slides it again. Because, you know, Billy Perdomo comes by here, and Jose Boltai comes by here.
Jose Boltai.
And, you know, Jose Hollywood, and the, you know, they come by here. And so if we buy from you, you're going to be back. And I go, all right, bro. Let me explain it to you. This is how it works. We're two different business models. Those guys get paid to visit your store.
Right.
Right. I sold you Tatuaje. You couldn't sell it.
Right.
I was with Crown Heads.
You went hard in the paint.
Bro, I sold you. You bought 5 boxes of Crown Heads. I gave you 5 free cigars for each box, and I gave you a hat for each box. You couldn't sell it. I brought you Aladino with the owner. You bought 5 boxes, and you couldn't sell it. Mm. Bro, why would I come here?
Right.
Why would I come here? Answer me that.
He just wants to hang out.
Riddle me that, Batman.
Yeah, so I get a call. Last week. Dude, at this point, I really rather not do business with this
guy. Of course.
You know? They're more trouble than they were.
Right.
They're
this really is a fucking pain in the ass.
And last week they called me. No, the week before they wanted the paperwork again and the minimums and blah, blah, blah. All right, perfect. The best part was that the day they changed the minimum, the buy-in minimums, the requirement for this company, he calls me the following day. I'm ready to make a deal, Pete. I said, that's great. By the way, these are the new requirements.
It's a lot more than 5 boxes.
Oh, yeah. He says, oh, man, I'm sorry. And I said, yeah, me too. Sorry. Yeah, it wouldn't have amounted to a hill of shit anyway, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, way. I mean, you know what? Like, for me being this far in the industry, fucking at this point, I don't want somebody here all the time. I just don't. You know, like, if you want, hey, look, I want to invest time and energy and fucking try and get things going. Okay, great. That's fine. That's a totally different thing. If you really want to do that, we'll do that. But I'm not going to make you fucking come in here and put on a fucking show so that I can smoke a couple cigars and be like, all right, well, fucking pound rocks.
But the thing is that as a rep, your job is, if you want to open the account, your job is to go in there.
Right.
And then go in there the month after. And then go in there the month after. And then you know, at some point, then you begin to apply pressure.
Right.
You
like at that point, I'll break.
You like the cigars.
Yeah.
All right. You like them. You plan. And then you got to ask leading. Yeah. You got to ask them the question. So there's no room, obviously, because that's the biggest objection.
Always.
There's never any room. Right. So what's on its way out? Because there's always something on its way out. Something that's not selling. Something that.
Shuffle.
Something on its way. What's on its way out? Oh, I think I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of that. Then you consider, can I help to either buy that? Because I can do that.
Right.
Or figure out how I can help you get rid of that.
Right.
Or try to, and then I'll just tell you, all right, so that's on its way out, right? All right, perfect. I can give you bags so you can bag it up and do a buy three, get one, buy, you know, lower the price and get it out, you know, just change the scenery where it's at and put it in bags and get it out. And then This is the line in the sand, bro. So the line is here. When you're out of that, line starts here. I'm first in line, right?
Right.
Right. So now I've got a verbal commitment on your part that we're
right.
And then I'll be back again in a month.
To make sure.
And to make, right. And if you in that month bring in something else new, oh my God, bro, I get like a little kid. I get pouty. I start kicking sand, bro. I'm like, oh.
Why would you bring that in?
Yeah, bro. Oh, yeah. Then that's a hard time controlling all my emotions. Really? That, bro? You brought that in? What? I mean, they offer you a free bowl of soup? Why would you bring that in? What makes you think that that would do? Well, no, the guy came in one more time than I did. But who knows how it happened? Yeah. You know, he broke weak. Who cares?
Right.
But then I'll be back again.
Right.
And that's how you get in.
Oh, yeah. You still go back even after the.
Of course. Well, it depends. You know.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense to me from other retailers, you know, outlooks. And to be honest, if we don't carry you, then yeah, coming in once a month, I'm eventually gonna fucking break. I'm gonna say, look, man, you're not going away. All right, fuck it, dude. Let's get you a fucking 4 or 5 facings. Let's get it going. Let's see how it looks. Right.
Right.
Of course. But we have a relationship.
Right.
Right. Like you don't have to come in every 6 weeks if you didn't. No. I would call you and say, hey, this is what I need. Right. You say, hey, this is what's coming out. I say, okay, cool. Here you go. Like, do you want to do an event? And that would be it. Right.
Right.
So
you've done an event. I've not been able to show up, and you still host the event, and we go forward, and everything works.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's a relationship, baby. I love it.
Love it.
Love you guys, man. Thank you for having me.
All right. Oh, it's great. It's always fun having people.
All right, let's go do the meeting.
All right.
All right.
We go.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Chet and Palmer Show, the podcast that's all about middle-aged men and their unique perspectives on life.
That's right, Chet. We're two middle-aged guys who've seen it all, done it all, and now we're here to share our insights with you.
And we're excited to announce that our show is now available on the Digitent Podcast Network. That means you can tune in every Thursday for any new episode featuring our witty banter, hilarious stories, and insightful commentary.
And let me tell you, folks, we've got some great topics lined up for you. We'll be talking about everything from health and wellness to sex and relationships.
That's right, Palmer. And we're not afraid to tackle the tough issues either. We're going to dive deep into some of the most pressing questions facing middle-aged men today.
And we're going to have some fun along the way, too. We've got some great guests lined up, including some of our fellow middle-aged men who've got some pretty interesting stories to tell.
So, if you're a middle-aged man looking for a podcast that speaks to you, then the Chet and Palmer Show is the podcast for you. Tune in every Thursday on the Digitent Podcast Network and join the conversation.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
The Cigar Hustlers Podcast, its owners, and its sponsors take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the talk show host or their guest. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of Mike and Mike Productions or the podcast providers, and opinions between talk show hosts may differ. It is not our intention to libel, incite, or hurt anyone's feelings. We invite you to write the show's host, Mike Stepankevich, with any feedback or suggestions that you have for their shows. These broadcasts are presented and made public as entertainment in the hope that they will be entertaining to the audience.